Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson. And our show tonight is on activating and calming frequencies that you can use in a musical production or in a sound healing session. However, we're going to do a little experiment today. Here's the deal. My kitty, Joy, just died a couple of days ago. And I was really close to my kitty. And I've been dealing with the emotional grief of it. And so I want to do a little experiment and really talk about, you know, the different sounds that help with grief, as well as if it actually were to turn into depression. And then we'll play some different songs that are activating or calming and see how they work. So the intention today is to really be able to choose exactly the right sounds or tones or timbres or musical intervals or music or energy for whatever you have going on, and just the right combination of activating or calming. Okay. But before we get started, I want to tell you about what's happening at the school. We have some interesting things going on. The big thing that we have happening is on Friday, August 17th, from 7 to 10 p.m., we have a major sound healing concert at Grace Cathedral. Grace Cathedral is one of the largest, so it probably is the largest and most beautiful church in San Francisco. Unbelievably beautiful. It also has a labyrinth right at the entryway, and we're going to have people, they're able to walk the labyrinth at 6 p.m. on the 17th. We've got about 15 musicians. We've got about 10 singers, amazing channeling singers for sound healing. We also have a cello player, a couple of pianists, including Randy Masters. We also have a Native American flute player. We have a lot of crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, tingshas, and all types of things. And we've done this concert many times, but not at Grace Cathedral. And, oh boy, we've already got about 50 people signed up. If you actually pay by August 1st, it's only $20. You can go to soundhealingcenter.com/concert.html. That's soundhealingcenter.com/concert.html. Or you can just go to soundhealingcenter.com and you'll see it in the top right corner. And after the August 1st, it's going to be $25, then $30 at the door. And so it's going to be an amazing event. Friday, August 17th at Grace Cathedral here in San Francisco. This one, I often kid about flying in, but this one would actually be worth flying in. Before that, we also have the summer intensive. So the summer intensive goes from Sunday, August 5th to Friday, August 17th. So the last day of the summer intensive is the concert. So if you make it for the summer intensive, there's still room starting again August 5th, and that's every day 10 to 9:30. I mean, you are immersed in sound and you will never be the same. Okay. It's really powerful. And let's see, we've got that. We also have a meetup coming up on Friday, July 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a jam session. So if you play, if you're in the area, you have any instruments, you can bring in your instruments, whether it's bowls or didgeridoo or guitar, whatever you play, and we're going to do a jam session with toning and intention. So we're going to set an intention for each jam session. Again, that's only $5 on Friday the 27th. We also have an open house on Sunday, August 19th, a couple of days after the concert. And we also have our online certificate program starting this Tuesday, July 24th. Still room. We've got about 7 people in the class right now. And even if you know nothing about computers, we'll help you get set up. It's really cool. You know, we actually do toning and chanting online and do healings on each other. And it really works really well. We've been doing it for 5 or 6 years now. And besides that, we also have the 3-month program that's 3 nights a week and some weekends at the Institute here starting September 4th. And that goes right into the associate's degree program if you want to continue. Also, the online sound healing certificate goes into the associate's degree if you want to continue after that. That online program is about 4 months. We have individual classes in any of those programs that you can do, so you don't have to do the whole program. Also, we have the sound healing audio production program starting. You could start this week online on Thursday or at the Institute on September 4th. And if you pay for just about any of these by this Wednesday, you can still get a discount. So, except for the intensive. Our contact is 415-777-2486 or david@soundhealingcenter.com or go to soundhealingcenter.com. Again, the phone number is 415-777-2486. Okay. So, let me tell you about my kitty, and then we'll use this as a good example of how to deal with difficult emotions. Okay. Now, my kitty's name is Joy, and she was really cool. She's only 8 years old, so it was really kind of stressful that she got some type of kidney. I mean, I don't know if it was an infection, but we had her on antibiotics for a week, and then she got totally better, and then the next day, she just degraded, and then I watched her die. You know, I did tuning forks on her while she was dying. It was really, really sad, but, you know, it was totally present, and just, it was interesting. When it happened, it was like 1 in the morning, and I ended up staying up all night, just crying and crying and crying. And I realized, you know, I could really be just like, making that sound. In fact, I said to my friend, I could be going, or I can be going, let me do that again without the cough. I got to clear my throat just a second. Okay. And that's where I went, to this really peaceful place. Still crying, but, you know, here's the main deal when you have grief or sadness. And we talk about this in detail in some of the radio shows, but also in our classes on how to release stuck emotions. The number one bad emotion in the world, by far, is resistance to emotions. And I realized that, you know, I had no resistance through this process in the last few days. I've had no resistance at all. I don't feel bad about crying in the middle of Whole Foods. You know, I mean, I've been crying for 3 days on and off. I mean, for the first night, it was like most of the night, you know, and then I played guitar a little bit, and we did a little rituals and talked about this kitty's life. I mean, my kitty, she did tricks. I mean, she would give you a high five if you had treats. She would give you kisses if you touched your finger to your nose. She would actually jump up on my chest if I sneezed. She, like, really took care of me. This was totally amazing. And so, you know, to be able to cry and have no resistance, has been such a blessing, because what it's done is it's really made me feel really good. I feel really grounded. I feel totally in my body, in my emotions. I don't really feel stress. I mean, it's a bummer, you know, in a way. I mean, I come home, there's no kitty here, and I break out crying again, you know. You know, I mean, it's sad, but this is normal grief, I realize. You know, it's like I heard something on the radio this morning. There was this psychologist, he was saying, he was talking about the shooting in the movie theater that happened, I guess, yesterday or day before yesterday, whenever. And they were saying, you know, when people are going through grief, do not pathologize them. It's natural for us to feel sad and down, you know, and especially to cry. You know, I said, God, you know, in football games, they should have, you know, huddles where they, you know, if someone gets hurt, they allow the guy to cry and everybody just holds space for him. But no, you're not, okay, especially as guys, you're not supposed to cry. You know, it's crazy. You know, it's like, I've been so aware of this. I saw I went to the beach today, and this kid, he must have been about 3 or 4 years old, his brother throws some water in his face, and he immediately starts crying. And I thought, God, this is our natural response to pain. You know, we're taught so much to not cry. It's just crazy. It's just crazy, because the crying, when you're done crying, it totally feels good. It still feels like you've really released. I mean, it's such a natural way to release energy. It's unbelievable. I just feel so great. In fact, I look forward to, you know, the next tier, you know, on this. I mean, today I went and picked up her ashes. You know, I went to the crematorium and I picked up her ashes. And immediately, you know, I started crying again. And I've got her ashes here right now. And so then I think also about, you know, all the people that think it's wrong to be sad. I mean, goodness gracious, look at what all we have to be sad for, not to mention loss, which is based on attachment. And you have this attachment, which, you know, we naturally are attached because we're all connected. But then we often get overly attached to things, and then there's that loss as well. But it's a natural, you know, chords. We get these natural chords as well. I mean, but on the other hand, look at, I mean, what's going on the planet. When you really tune into the energy, and I don't want to be a bummer here, but, I mean, I'm really making it okay for the sadness that people have. Look at all of the crazy amount of people killing each other for greed and ego and power. And look at the way that our Earth is being, well, not totally destroyed, but destroyed. I mean, through pollution. And God, the thing that bums me out the most is fracking, you know? I mean, totally. I mean, you know, we're destroying the groundwater, and that can't be fixed. That can't be fixed. I mean, a lot of this other stuff can be cleaned up pretty easily, you know, if we would just stop it, you know? I mean, there's so much pain and hunger and you know, lack of housing. There's so many things for us to be sad about, and it's in the etheric field. It's in the astral field. And so, you know, people think, God, you should be happy. Well, no. Look at the state of our planet. I mean, there's a lot of joy. There we go. There's a lot of joy. My kitty's name was Joy. And there's a lot of, you know, love on the planet as well. But it's okay to be sad, because it's the natural response to what's happening. You know, so now I'm a 4 on the Enneagram. So sadness, I'm like a good friend of sadness. And I think the big problem is a lot of people are really scared of sadness, because The other side of sadness is depression. Now, I am kind of down, you know, energetically. I'm moving a little slow these days. I am moving a little slow, but I'm still eating, you know, and I'm still laughing, and I'm still, you know, but I don't want to go dancing right now. I really don't want to go dancing. And this, and I know I am not depressed. I mean, it's like I tell people, I'm a little depressed now, but really, I am not depressed. I am just sad. My best friend that I loved intensely just died, you know? I'm a little sad. And so I think, okay, what are the sounds and what is the music to use for people that are just sad or grieving? And it's really, I've been watching really closely as to what music really works, you know, and what doesn't. First of all, I'm really, I already have a little bit of a fragile nervous system, but I noticed that I don't want any edgy sounds. I don't want any, you know, no. I'm really just in my body. I'm not wanting to get activated right now. I just want to be in my feelings and feel what I'm feeling. And that does not mean activation. There's a lot of things in sound that do activation. For example, odd harmonics is what I just did. Odd harmonic sounds like bagpipes or reed instrument. Even a sitar could be too activating right now for me. Pure sounds. You know, I don't really want to listen to a pure, I mean, a flute is pretty pure, and that's almost too much. I definitely don't want to listen to whistles, even tuning forks, you know, they're kind of soothing, but I'm not really wanting any, like real, you know, just piercing, anything piercing that's too pure. Although pure sounds, I mean, flutes, I mean, if played in the right way, can be really beautiful. So, of course, I don't want any dissonance. I don't want anything dissonant right now. I really don't even want a lot of instruments, anything really full. You know, I don't really want a lot of high frequencies. It's not really where I'm at right now. Faster tempos. God, slow down. Feel the world. You know, or, and even alpha or beta. Alpha is like, or beta. You know, I'm more like in the delta. Whoa, 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 whoa. Even slow, low delta. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't really want any activating, like, nature sounds, like, you know, like a raven going, ah, ah. You know? I really don't even want to listen to very many lyrics. I'm really much rather listen to things that are like, with no words. Maybe some Sanskrit might be cool, though. You know, because lyrics, it's just like, you know, it gets into the judgmental mind. I've been listening to some, a good amount of Rachmaninoff, and also that's been really nice, but also the Gregorian chant, you know, has been really, really, really soothing. Okay? And anything that opens the heart, you know, so all of these, so those are the things that I'm really looking for. Slow tempos, simple melodies, you know, calming sounds, and things that open the heart. But it's nice to resonate the sadness. Now, it's interesting. I've got a song called Good Grief. And this is a song from, oh, this is really interesting. This is really profound, actually. Oh, my God. This is so synchronistic. Something, oh, you aren't going to believe this. Check this out. There's a company called Nutra Energetics. Wow, this is intense. This might make me start crying right now. Okay, this company, Nutra Energetics, they have a device that sends electronic signals through the body and pings different organs. Actually, what they're pinging are morphogenetic fields, and they actually did the whole movie called The Living Matrix, which I did part of the soundtrack for. And it's really about mapping out all the different fields through the cells, through the different organs, through all of the body, these morphogenetic fields, which are non-local brains that control different parts of the body, and mapping out their frequency as well so you can resonate them back into harmony, because it's these fields that actually control all of the organs in the body. You can almost think of it as auras, but they're mapping them out to very specifically down to the cells. And the number one person in the company that is the best or main researcher on the planet, I guess Rupert Sheldrake is the one that actually started it all, but the one who's been doing the main research, and it's like the main person in Nutra Energetics, is Peter Fraser. 15 minutes before this show, I got an email that Peter Fraser died yesterday. Peter Fraser gave me the codes for different healing modes for, oh my God, this is so amazing, for 24 different healing modes. And I made two CDs with 12 songs each on the CDs using these codes. He gave me the numbers. He gave me 12 numbers, and for each of the 12 numbers, 0 to 9, he gave me 8 notes that I could use, very specific notes at specific octaves that I could use for that number. So generally the songs have 12 sections, and sometimes they repeat. And often the songs are based on, the chord progression is based on the actual notes from these quantum healing fields that Peter Fraser gave me. Sometimes I embedded these notes in the background of the song. So this song, Good Grief, are the healing, oh my God, this is so, oh my God. These frequencies that are in this song for grief came from Peter Fraser, who died yesterday. So I originally came up with this chord progression when a friend of mine's wife left him, or they broke up. He might have left her, I forget. But I found that this chord progression was perfect, kind of similar to Pachelbel Canon, which is really good for grief. It's got a bit of sadness in it, but then it comes back up. It's almost like a circle of going down to the bit of sadness, not too deep, not depression, right, but down to a bit of sadness, and then the next little round is up of the four notes in this chord progression. And what we did is when we did this song, we had everybody, including myself when I wrote it, to focus on releasing grief. That was the whole intention. So every musician that played on this, which was a guitar player, keyboard player, and the musicians that sing on it, we were really careful to hold the intention for anybody that might listen to this of releasing grief. And I've played it a few times over the last few days. In fact, I put it on repeat for quite a few hours at one point. And it's really, it works pretty well. It works pretty well because it doesn't bring you into this depression. It's really about bringing you out of the grief, but still being in that sadness. Okay? So let's listen to this and feel that the cool thing of this is when I listen to it, I go to a place of stillness where there is no movement, which is perfectly peace, perfect peace. Okay. on that one. But it's, you know, it's interesting because when I was listening to it, the cool thing about this song is it gets really powerful, and it's almost, I just felt like it was a celebration of Peter's life or my kitty's life, you know? And then it comes down and there's sadness, but it comes to a place of peace at the end. Even the church bells at the end are like just a place of ah. And that's the trick, is to, you don't want to wallow in the sadness. You know, I mean, the point of the sadness is for you to feel. That's what sadness does, is it makes you feel. And when you feel, you can go to that place of peace or stillness. That's the deal. We don't want to just be, like, depressed, but, I mean, but it's okay to be sad, you know, because it's like right now, I don't feel anxious. I feel really good after using that song to grieve even Peter that I just found out died. I mean, it seems so perfect. And here's the problem. As I mentioned before, so many people don't take the time to grieve. You know, even with just my kitty, you know, I canceled classes for 2 days. And a lot of people, if they have grieving, they go, oh, I can't take off work. You know, I mean, goodness, I can't take off work. What do you mean you can't take off work? You're going to die. You're gonna kill yourself. I mean, if you don't take off work and allow time. And it's interesting. It was like Tuesday night was when my kitty died, and I thought, well, goodness, I'm still grieving today. You know, I mean, well, I got her ashes today. You know, and how long does it take? I mean, I feel down, but it feels like I'm perfect. I feel like I'm probably halfway there. You know, in this grieving process. I'm starting to do creative work and some work, but, you know, I'm not pushing myself. And I feel like I'm on the perfect curve. Now, if you have, like, a close loved one, well, I was going to say maybe it's way longer, although, you know, kitties can be pretty... I mean, my kitty was as close as I could ever imagine a human being. You know, so animals. I had this one woman who came in for a treatment about 3 or 4 months ago, and she had like serious medical problems going. Her whole kidney system and urinary system was just completely stopped up, and she had pancreatic cancer and actually beat it over the last couple of years, all these different medical issues over the last 4 years. And as I normally do, I asked her, you know, we normally deep down know precisely what emotionally is causing this illness physically. We all normally really know already. And she goes, oh yeah, I know precisely what caused all this. And I was like, whoa, what is it? And she goes, my dog died 4 years ago. And I still can't handle it. Now, I don't know exactly, but I would guess that she did not allow herself to really cry and cry and cry and grieve the way was needed. I don't know this for sure, but I would guess that that is what happened. You know, it's so amazing how many people don't cry these days or cry easily. Although, my previous girlfriend, she actually used to never cry. And then after she met me, after a year or two, she like, now she learned to cry. Now she cries all the time, but she's much happier. Isn't that funny? The more we cry, the happier we are. I wrote a song that was really, really cool. It's called, It's Okay to Get Down, Down to the Ground, because tomorrow we'll be laughing. Give me the highs. Give me the lows. Give me the feeling anywhere it goes. Now, as far as other things I've been using, tuning forks on my body do feel good because, you know, I would love to get a massage right now. Because, you know, there is some tension releasing through my body. I mean, there's definitely some little stress, you know, of just, you know, the connection, the cords that you have that are connected to people, of reassigning those cords or reconnecting those cords inside you as well. You know, so there, you know, there's like movement in your system when there's loss. And, you know, really, you can also look at loss as just loss of a job or loss of, you know, you lose your keys. No, maybe that's not a good example. Or just, you know, a loss of a relationship, you know. There's so many things, you know, even, you know, maybe a car dies for that matter, you know. Because all of this, I mean, it creates that tension. And then, you know, so of course the ultimate place you go to is gratitude for this relationship, for what you had. And you go to this place of stillness, totally at peace, feeling grounded in your body. But sometimes what happens is people go a little too far. And I think the way they go too far into depression, I don't know this for sure, but my feeling, and also from talking to other people that have dealt with depression in the classes, is that the reason grief or sadness goes into depression is resistance to it. If you simply, in the beginning, let yourself be sad, then you feel it completely. Now, there could be some chemical thing that happens in people when they're sad, you know, for too long. But I still think it's got to be the resistance. Because sadness, the sound of sadness, is not like, ah, ah, that is not sadness. That sound, despair or depression, is really bad for your system. It breaks down your system. Whereas the sound of sadness is a beautiful sound, like we just listened to, or like this. Songs that are laced with sadness that we love. And again, the deal with sadness is it brings you to a place where you feel. And when you feel, you go to a place of peace. Because real feelings are simply sweet. Once you feel something, there's different types of emotions. There's feeling. If you feel bad emotions that are like, you get through the resistance, and then they dissipate. But sadness is a little different. It doesn't necessarily go away. I mean, you can listen to a song like that, and it's not like I'm over my kitty dying. You know, it's still going to take a few days. It doesn't just dissipate. It's no longer anxiety. I'm repeating myself. So let's listen to another song here. This one's called Antidepressant. Okay, and I haven't listened to this one since all of this has happened in the last week. So it'll be interesting to report on how it feels to me, feeling totally in my body. Now with this song, I have a lot of highs and a hi-hat that's very activating, and some alpha frequencies to activate the brain. But I put a really sweet cello in here to activate the heart, because I think when you're depressed, love is also one of the most important antidotes. So let's listen to this little excerpt from the song Antidepressant. Cello and other sections on that song, which I only heard a little bit of cello at the beginning. But, you know, that one did not resonate the sadness for me. So, I mean, I could see that one would be really good if you were totally depressed, because it did get me high. I mean, it brought me to this high place. But it didn't really sing with the feelings. And so that sadness was, you know, not really resonated, which I think with grief is really, you need to really get into it and feel it And again, it's not a bad thing. It's really very good for your system. Okay? Okay. Now, again, the ultimate antidote is love. I mean, love is especially good in these situations, especially since when there's a loss of a person, there's a loss of love, so to speak. So to really ultimately to find that connection to universal love in your own heart or your own system or in your own in the universe, that is really the ultimate antidote for anything. And so this song, Unconditional Love, is really about opening to this universal love. And it's interesting, when you listen to this, notice that it does have a good amount of sadness in it. But as I often do in a lot of my music, I take the sadness into power. So it starts kind of sad, but then it gets really powerful. So it's like this sadness that is strong. And that's the cool thing about grief. When you really get grounded, you are stronger than anybody else. I've noticed this over the last few days when I'm interacting with other people. I feel more in my power and more grounded, where other people are kind of doing the, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, cruising through their day, like, what are we going to do today? You know, the normal stuff of, like, living and surviving. Whereas I feel like when I look at them, I see I'm just more peaceful and more still than a lot of people around me. And that brings power. It's interesting. It's such a conundrum. Okay? So check out this song, Unconditional Love, that I played many times, and see how this feels, and I'll be tuning in how this feels for grief, sadness. Think of anything you might have that's sad in your life. Thank you. that is the peace right there that you're looking for. Because in this place, there's no pain. It's all perfect. It's all in alignment with the flow of ups and downs and cycles that are perfectly natural on the planet. So don't be afraid of sadness. Don't be afraid to cry. And find the music or sounds that work for you to really resonate that sadness so you can go and be grounded and strong. And then tomorrow,